Today began the first Sunday in our new quarter in our teaching program. And I cannot stress enough how important the efforts that everyone has made with our teaching program, how much that means. I know before I moved here, I was talking to those that were looking at whom they might consider to come and preach, and we talked about a lot of things, and one of them was the power of a good teaching program. We had a family visit us from Texas about a week or so ago, and got a call when I was at Rustic Youth Camp, and they were thinking about maybe taking a job to this area. They was looking at this congregation, and we talked to them. They were so impressed with the teaching program. And I was telling them about some of the things we're doing, we're trying to do, and so we're not doing the teaching program to try to bring in new people. I mean, we're doing it because we love the Lord. We want to teach our children. But I want to tell you, it's a great thing. The effort that is being spent, the time that is being spent in these areas is wonderful. And I know probably the women and others that are involved with it, we don't commend you enough for it. But it is an absolutely critical element. I do believe that our primary work as a local congregation is edification. And we need to do that well. And really, tonight, we're going to be talking about that. We're talking about how we build each other up. And I've raised this question, are you stable? And really, we're going to look at the idea of stability from a biblical perspective. It is really important that we have a good atmosphere, a good teaching program, that we set forth good examples, that we deal with problems in a way, and we teach in such a way to build people up. That's how you get elders and leadership. That's the function that we should be having. And there's a way to get there, and there's shortcuts that people take that don't get you there. And that will be the essence of the study tonight. 1 Corinthians 3, the Lord, through Paul, warns us how to build here. And the idea of building here, I believe, is the idea of edification. In 1 Corinthians 3:10, it says, according to the grace of God which was given to me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, and he starts talking about the consequences. We won't read the rest of the context, but basically, guess what? If you build with gold, silver, and precious stones, and the fire comes, guess what? It stands. If you build with wood, hay, straw, and the fire comes, and it goes whoosh, it's gone. How do we build? And I will say this for every home with children. This is for you parents. There's a way to build. And there's a way to put junk in. And you'll end up getting what you put into it. And so, one of the things that I see within trends within churches is sometimes people ridicule some of the kind of teaching and preaching that you would hear from this pulpit and others, not trying to commend ourselves, but we try to talk about discernment. We try to talk about here is that which is wrong and that is right. We're talking about a path that sometimes is very different from the religious world, and some people say that's legalism. What some people call legalism, I would call building with gold, silver, and precious stones. And what some people would say would be the grace of God, I'm not speaking about God's real grace, but what some people call the grace of God is literally an approach toward compromise, trying to take the easy route, not trying to discern. And I think they're actually defending wood, hay, and stubble as a building block. The bottom line is that I want to go to heaven. I want my children to go to heaven. We want one another to go to heaven. And it's going to take substantive, serious teaching if we're going to get there. The Lord will bless us. His grace will be with us. But you see, the old formula, we talked about this in classes, GI equals GO, and that's garbage in equals garbage out. And I will tell you, as we look at the Word of the Lord, we want to build on His Word. We want to be substantive, it'd be challenging, and that it will bring substance in our life. Without that teaching, I'm going to show you in the course of the study tonight what you get. Yeah, I see some people today, they'll tend to choose where they attend by how entertaining the speaker is. So we could pretty well rest assured that that's not how we're building. That's for sure. Sometimes people like, you know, they would want to go somewhere where people are doing things different and new, and it's original and it's exciting. Guess what? Whatever it is that's new and original and exciting, give it 2 years, you know what it'll be?
It'll be traditional and old.
Then you got to do something else new. We're not trying to bring people in here by doing a bunch of new stuff to get people excited. Now, we don't want to be dead. We want to be looking at God's Word and lively, but you know, you don't have to change the surface of things and even change God's Word to get people to have attention to God. You see, how do you build? Paul warned about some people. In 2 Corinthians 2:17, "For we are not as so many peddling the Word of God, but as of sincerity, but as from God, we speak in the sight of God in Christ." One of the things in my evangelism, in my teaching, as we're working with Christians, trying to urge them to repent, you want to do this substantively. You don't want the quick shortcut. Well, you know, negotiate with somebody and say, okay, well, you know, you can do this because people will like it. You look at God. You look at His Word. You look at the blood of Christ. You look at truth. You don't peddle the Word of God. And so, again, they're lessons, and you've heard lessons here, and I know you've taught it in times past. You teach on some subject like marriage, divorce, and remarriage, some people are going to say, bye, I don't want to have anything to do with you. Well, we're teaching the Word of God, not peddling it. We're not going to hold back on anything God says. In 2 Corinthians 4, again, the same danger is warned against. Here, Paul talking about the right attitude toward building and those that want to somehow hold back from God's stone and precious the silver and gold and precious stone. Verse 1. "Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we've renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the Word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God." That's how you build. I want the truth. I want it found in the Word of God. If I'm lacking, I want to know. If I'm following God's way, I want to be built up. I want a clear conscience. I don't want tricks. I don't want social manipulation. I don't want to have to worry about whether or not I think there's enough people here or not. No, I'm not going to be thinking that way. I'm looking at God. And in the essence, Paul said this in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 5. "For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake." So any other preaching is not going to work. I've given the illustration many times, but I built a house one time out of scrap wood in my backyard, and, you know, I built it out of junk. And it was fun while it lasted as a kid, but what it was fit for is what it eventually was. It made a great bonfire. I remember the day I burned that thing. Man, it made a great fire. I had a big, big time with it. But that, you know, you build out of junk, it's going to be good to be burned up. Preach the Word. Teach the Word. Now, when you do that, what you'll see that the Bible talks about in verse 2, that you'll convince, rebuke, exhort, there'll be long-suffering, there'll be teaching. But the warning is also given in verse 3 that there's going to come times within churches they do not want to have that. Brethren, one of the things we will see, there will be those that want to take that stand that know the Lord and know the Word of God, they'll stand with us. There will be those that don't want that stand. And they want to somehow start negotiating on what subjects you can preach on and what subjects you cannot preach on. And if they leave us, they need to leave us. We need to be the kind of people determined to help people go to heaven. And so, we won't go with the contemporary worship movement. We won't go with other things, the fads that come and go. We'll try to take a principled, consistent approach to eternal life. Now, with that in mind, I want to go ahead and go to Roman numeral 1 if you're following with me in the outline. Roman numeral 1, instability. Well, as we grow, we're going to have times of instability. Matter of fact, instability at one time will be a characteristic of our lives. And so when we talk about being unstable, the word is translated in 2 Peter 2:14 and 2 Peter 3:16. It says having a tendency to change one's views and attitudes, unstable, unsteady, not settled. Substantively, of someone not settled in his thinking, unstable person. And you know, you would find that with new Christians. people may not have all the foundations, and things seems right that's not right, and maybe they'll think this way and then think that way. I remember being in that situation when I first became a Christian. I was full of zeal, but I was not yet stable. I wanted to serve the Lord, but I didn't quite have the understanding of Scripture, books, chapter, and verse, and the promises to really stand and say, here's what you ought to do. And instability should be a place of transition to stability. But some people do not ever come out of instability. And so that's really what I want to talk to you about. When you're unstable, there's despair and uncertainty. I can remember when I first became a Christian and I was looking at the denominations around me and I was looking at my family who was still a denomination that I left. And I was looking at the good people and the good things they were doing, and I was kind of wondering, well, you know, is this really where I want to be? Is this right? And I can remember being confused about many things. As I studied God's Word, I came to a better understanding of what God had. The Bible tells us, again, for people that are developing in their faith, you know, they may be on this position one day, and then they flip to the other side the next day. It's like a wave going back and forth, and it's described as being children spiritually. Ephesians 4:14, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him who is the head, Christ. Now notice in the context here, how you overcome instability is learning how to discern doctrine, is learning how to understand truth, is learning how to understand God's promises and have a connection to those promises, and having an underlying certainty of knowing who I am and where I'm going. That takes time. I don't like to live in uncertainty, do you? I hate situations where I know something is coming up, but I'm not quite sure what it is. God wants us to be certain, not halfway. What will happen if a person, I've seen this in the church, if a person doesn't continue to grow, they generally will quit. They will get discouraged. They will turn away and go back when if they don't come to understand the distinctiveness, the importance of principle, of why this stand is important. And another thing you saw already in Ephesians 4, you're easily manipulated. As a congregation grows, you'll have those that are solid. You'll have those that are unstable. You'll have different elements of different strength spiritually. And if a controversy came up, if a difficulty came up in the congregation, the false teacher or the troublemaker will go and start working with the unstable people. Talked about gossip this morning. It's sad to me when I see somebody that they go through a situation and they get mad at another person and they want to recruit people. You'll finally start hearing that so-and-so called this person, and so-and-so called this person, and so-and-so called this person, and you know who they'll be calling? Unstable people. Unstable people can hear emotional things, and they go and run. And remember we talked about this morning, a person, a principle? You make a charge against a person, we're going to go to that person, you and I, and we're going to fix it. You see, that's what a principled, stable person would do. But the unstable, the person who's trying to seek trouble, they'll go to the unstable and they'll be emotional that this happened and they did this. And the person finally goes, this group is terrible. And they're just upset in the background and they stay upset. That is characteristic of how easily unstable people are manipulated. You see, if unstable people don't have stability in God's truth, they're going to have stability somewhere, and they generally find it in relationships. An unstable person will be like the world. If you're their friend and you talk to them and you're close to them, they'll believe anything you say. They'll go any direction you go. If you go contrary to the truth, they'll go contrary to the truth. You see, ultimately you want to stand with God, with the truth, with principles. You don't want to be going to back and to and fro with emotions. We all go through times where we're emotional. And some people have been crippled emotionally through things that will always be with them. And they can be a faithful Christian dealing with issues such as depression, dealing with issues such as fear and other things. But you don't want to let those things, and here's where you fight. You don't want to let your emotions tell you what is real. Emotions don't tell you what is real. You may feel something is so and it not be so. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 5, again talking about how people manipulate unstable people. It says, "For neither at any time did we use flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness. Nor did we seek glory from men, either from you or from others, that we may be, when we might have made demands as apostles of Christ." Stable people appeal to principle. Stable people will communicate. Stable people will be honest. Stable people will look to God ultimately for their stability. And men may go here and may go there, and this thing may happen and that thing may happen. They look to God's word and they go forward. We need stable people. But again, peer pressure, other things, will be always be used with unstable people. There'll be that whoop they're here and whoop there and so on. It's interesting, if you've ever engaged in any kind of discussion, how quickly empty phrases intimidate people. If you're talking with an atheist, for instance, an atheist may say, "The Bible's full of contradictions." I consider that an empty statement. And there's just a lot of people, because they just haven't stated anything, they go, "Oh no, the Bible's full of contradictions." And they run from the person that makes the empty statement. A stable person will smile at them and say, "Name one." You know, but see, unstable people, because they have no principle. Somebody can throw out stuff and they just run. Like, you know, sometimes people will accuse the church of, "Well, you don't care for the needy." "Oh, really? Tell me about that. I'm not aware of that. I've tried to be helpful for the people who are needy. Can you tell me who's needy?" Some people will say, "Well, you think you're the only ones going to heaven." And I'd go, "Well, I believe in heaven and I believe in God's promises, and I try to get people to look at God's promises. Is there something wrong with standing on God's word? I mean, if that's what you mean by that, then I just know that I'm just going to stay within God's promises." People will use empty phrases commonly. And the unstable people, they'll go, "Ooh, that sounds deep. I must be wrong. I need to extend my fellowship to everybody." And they just cave in because they have no principle. That doesn't need to be us. And you see, unstable people, if you don't develop a foundation, then what you're going to do is you're going to follow what you want. And unstable people are described in 2 Peter 3:16. Notice here Peter's talking about why people twist Scripture. In 2 Peter 3:16, it says, speaking of Paul in the context, it says, "And also in all of his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand." Now notice, "which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do the rest of the Scriptures." You know, I remember seeing, and I don't encourage you to do this, but I do this. Let me tell you why I do it. I go on discussion boards. I've done that for the last 15 years amongst brethren, where people want to talk about various issues. I don't recommend that as a great way to spend your time. I do it for this reason. There have been people that I've baptized into Christ that are on those boards, and they've invited me to them. I say very little, but I listen and I watch, because you can follow what I would call trendy doctrinal issues that come and go. And I've watched to my heartbreak, where somebody, because they don't deal well with others, they don't have good relationship with others, they're unstable, they can go online and become absolutely consumed in online relationships and discussions. And I've watched some that I've baptized into Christ get caught up into that kind of thing. And they'll follow the trends of the day. There was one brother, because of relationships, he was friend with a preacher that decided that the Lord's Supper ought to be taken like a common meal. That we ought to be sitting here with tables and have lots of unleavened bread and fruit of the vine, and that we ought to be able to talk and laugh and do everything. We would take of the Lord's Supper. It should be like a meal. You know why he believed that? He couldn't argue it. He couldn't in any way somehow give book, chapter, and verse for that practice. What he did was, he had some friends that were on that discussion board that he liked, and he followed them. He was unstable. Unstable people will have no consistency. And we need to be careful. in our own, in the way we discuss, the way we reason, the way we deal with problems. You see, there are ways that people will intimidate others. I remember years ago, 1 Corinthians 11 is a passage that has a degree of controversy amongst brethren. But I'll never forget a preacher friend of mine once, we were both young at the time. I guess we can't say that anymore, but we were young at the time. And he was talking to an older preacher. And here's how the older preacher reasoned with him. He took a position on 1 Corinthians 11, and the older preacher said this: if you believe this and teach this, there's not going to be many places you can preach. What's he doing? He's trying to intimidate the man. He didn't even argue from Scripture what it taught or didn't taught. He didn't even try to rebuke his position. He says, now, if you believe this way, there's a lot of places you can't preach. Well, okay. An unstable person would have gone back and go, oh, no, I guess I have to give up my position. That's not how you reason. You'll find unstable people constantly thinking of quitting. They're talking about being burnt out, about looking at what brethren do or don't do and be all upset and discouraged. They're not looking at God. And they don't understand, you know, that brethren are brethren. You know, we'll make a mess of a lot of things, but God is consistent. And you will never build a consistent, steady approach to service to God in that way. Here we read about the inconsistent in the parable of the sower. It says, but the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, who believe for a while in a time of temptation fall away. Now, having said that, let's go ahead briefly in the rest of the lesson, talk about how to build consistency, how to be stable. First off, it goes back, as we've already talked about, a understanding of the foundation of who God is and how He has spoken. Sometimes I'll put it this way: Jesus Christ is Lord. In Colossians 2 and verse 6, the Bible says, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Have you ever noticed that spiritually mature people, when catastrophe comes or even when people get mad at them, you'll see a steadiness with them? They may mourn over things and they may be hurt over things, but there's a steadiness. There's the idea like the tree in the storm that stays fast because it's rooted deep. That's what I'm talking about. As you build strength, you'll know who God is and where you stand with Him and what God does when you fall short. And you're no longer here because of the numbers or something else. You're here because of principle. You would hate to see people leave. You would hate to go through difficult times. But you're rooted. That's where you need to be. You need to know who Jesus is and where His paths are. It's not being closed-minded. It's not being traditional. It's not somehow trying to draw attention to yourself. That is what God wants of us. And as you begin to understand the power of discernment, again, we won't read all these verses, but really, as we talked about this morning on mercy, mercy and justice commonly go together. And mercy and justice will cause you to look deep when you're dealing with an individual that you maybe have some problems with or are concerned about. You don't jump to conclusions. You learn to discern. You learn to reason. You understand that righteousness requires discernment. Psalms 89:14, righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Mercy and truth go before your face. You see, it'll bless your life. It'll help you be honest with your children. It'll help your children learn how to tell the truth. It'll help you to plot out a path through God's Word, and you just won't be so concerned about the peer pressure and the other stuff and all the commotion the world throws at you when you're simply walking with the Lord. These other verses really point out the same thing: righteousness and justice. You know, I've seen a lot of Christians in verse 14 of Hebrews 5 that get mad at other Christians because they choose a path that sometimes, without them saying a word, may seem to condemn them. They'll dress in a way contrary to the world. They'll make choices contrary to the world, and sometimes contrary to what brethren do. And all they're doing is walking with the Lord. They're using discernment. There's principle. Here is why I do what I do. The Bible says, but solid food belongs to those who are full age, that is, who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So brethren, we're not being Pharisees when we reason. We're not. And you'll find it, the closer you get to God, the more stable you are. There are things you won't do. A lot of your brethren may do. You won't do because you're drawing closer to God's truth. You know, so God wants us to, again, go through that process, that growing process. If you want to grow, you've got to learn discernment. Going back to Romans 8, another thing that we look at sometimes is we look in Scripture, we talk about, well, how do you have assurance with God? Some of you have even asked me about teaching more about assurance. How do I have assurance with God? I see the guilt of my sin, and I realize that I needed the blood of Christ. And some people are unstable because they're constantly guilt-filled. How can you know? How can you know you're forgiven? It goes back to learning who God is, seeing His nature, looking at His promises, going back over and over again when you're dealing with the guilt to go to the Scripture and find relief from that. I like how it's put in verse 16 of Romans 8. It says, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. You have the Spirit of God bearing witness. You have our spirit bearing witness. The Spirit of God gives us the promises. Our spirit looks back at the promises and see that we conform to those promises, and we're forgiven, and we're sons. We cry, Abba, Father. We have a close relationship with God. Start there, brethren. If you're not stable, and you may be constantly doubting where you are with God, deal with that issue. It is not arrogance to say that I am forgiven. I understand His promises. I know God loves me, and I know that He's with me. Without that, you have no possibility of stability or strength. And the grace of God is what we're talking about. There's some points I'm making that are becoming somewhat redundant, but I want, again, just go ahead and do this. We live in a world that's gone crazy. We live in a world where really things that have gone before, we're seeing now. And we're living a world right now because of abundance. Our society thinks that they can escape the consequences. And you see that reflected in churches. There are people today that really say, it really shouldn't matter. We shouldn't care about doctrine. We shouldn't care about what somebody teaches. As long as somebody loves the Lord, this church is right, and that church is right, and this church is right. And there's that emotionalism that people are pressured. Oh, I can't condemn something. Go back to Scripture. Gain some stability. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone into the world. Does that not apply today? You know, again, I'm not going out here trying to hunt out somebody and say, you're a false prophet, but I need to understand the truth is in the minority and will always be in this world. Satan is the ruler of this world. And his most powerful work is done as he imitates being children of God. Bible tells us we are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. One of the problems we're seeing today is what I call easy believism, where people don't have to stand for anything. One of the problems we're seeing right now in churches of Christ, and we're seeing it in this area. I'm going to try to talk a little more about this and be more specific. But many of you may not be familiar with some of the papers and some of the teachers that are they're teaching today that are saying that really, we are just a denomination amongst denominations. That really, if somebody accepts Jesus as Lord through the sinner's prayer and then are baptized for any reason, they are Christians. And that we should not call people out of denominationalism. Now, folks, Whether or not you say, that's misrepresenting the other churches in this area. They are sending their young people in their retreats to keynote speakers that believe that. I know that because they've written books. Now, what do we do when somebody wants to have unity with unbelievers? I believe as unbelievers, one who is not in Christ. The Bible tells us, how does one come into Christ? The Bible says, and Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This congregation, because we're simply trying to follow the Lord, we will accept people in the fellowship that have done that, that have, as a penitent believer, been baptized into Christ for that reason. And if they haven't done it for that reason, we will not accept them in the fellowship. Why? We want them to go to heaven. I want somebody to be baptized for remission of sins. We studied earlier lessons that there's problems with the denominational baptism. And those are things that are not negotiable. You see, over and over again, people say, well, that's narrow. But you see, I don't want the temporary joy of increasing numbers and telling people, you're okay and I'm okay, and having a worship service that is directed toward my own desires rather than the promises of God. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2, the Bible says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which had been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. Now, what do I do when I have a promise and it's a conditional promise and I say you don't have to meet the condition? I'm disregarding the promises of God. When I regard the promises of God, then the Bible says that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. I'm going to highlight some of the points in this lesson. If you've got an outline, you can follow with me. Another thing that we need to be concerned about as we try to be stable is we need to protect the conscience. There's a right and wrong. You see, stable people understand there's sin and there's righteousness. And you try to be very careful not to get as close to sin as you can to avoid doing it. We try to avoid sin because we really want to have a relationship with God. Acts 24:15, the Bible says, I have hope in God, which they themselves also accept, that there will be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. So what does that do? How do I handle that? What that makes me do is I won't practice some things. Some people say, well, why don't you go and attend this church? Why don't you attend that church? Oh, every church has some problems. Every church has some inconsistencies. Well, let me tell you what. You tell us about ours, and let's address them. I am not going to accept that because everybody's inconsistent, I can be inconsistent. Matter of fact, the Bible tells me this. In Romans 14:23, but he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he does not eat from faith, for whatever is not of from faith is sin. I believe we can walk confidently. And the things that we're part of, we can have confident that it's right. And if I'm not confident, I don't do it. Therefore, you know, we'll be a little different. But you see, that's the attitude that would bring certainty. And that's why the questions like, well, why don't you have not instrumental music? Why do you not use the contribution for all kinds of recreational and social purposes? Why are you doing the things you're doing or not doing certain things? We're simply trying to stay within a reasoned approach toward the promises of God. Colossians 3:17, the Bible says, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father through Him. I want to skip to Roman numeral 3, if I could, if you're following the outline. We're going to skip several charts here. And I want to deal with that if we could. Oh, but one thing. Let me go here. One goal. Don't stay in uncertainty. You are not being arrogant when you reason with Scripture and you say, this way is solid. You're not being a legalist. That is not a bad place to be. I'll always be listening to others that want to challenge something. But I'm going to stay within what I call the land of certainty, knowing. Last section. What do you do to build a stable soul? To me, our biggest problem, I'm afraid, when we're unstable is because we're unwilling to let go of something. I think that's our biggest problem. I think one of the reasons why we don't want to go the straight and narrow is because there's some things outside that path we really, 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 really want. How do you feed a stubborn will? It goes back to the cross. As I go back and see what my Lord went through at the Garden of Gethsemane, of how He sweated tears as blood, of how the angels came and gave Him support, of the agony that He prayed, Lord, let this cup pass from me. It wasn't an easy path. I am a Christian. Following Christ will take me to the cross. And I've got to understand, there's nothing more important than the blood of Christ. I'm following Him. This life is temporary. It's not easy. Galatians 2:20, the Bible says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who lives, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. His love motivates me. It moves me. It directs me. So when I come to know the cross, and I can know I'm His child. When I come to know the cross, I understand suffering's part of it. And you know what the beautiful blessing is when you suffer for your faith? It makes you stronger. How many of you have ever been on a sports team that was lousy? I've been on a few of them. I'll never forget it. The biggest illustration I found in this was in band. I had a band director that I only had for 6 months. And we feared him. And he demanded his perfection from us if he could. And we loved him. He practiced us. We ended up achieving things in competition that no school in the Birmingham City system had ever achieved up at that point. And it cost us. And I look back with great fondness with that director. The man that followed him had no clue how to be a band director. He got promoted, you know. He couldn't stay with us. You know, he went up the ladder very quick. The next guy that came in, he didn't have a clue box. He was a musician. He had no idea how to exercise discipline. And we despised him. I'm ashamed to say some of the things I did. I was not a Christian at the time, and we tried to find ways to aggravate and stir up and do other things because we were upset. What do you think of your faith? If you're following the Lord and standing and suffering for that faith is going to become more precious. That's the whole lesson of Hebrews 11, and Hebrews 12 talks about this, the great cloud of witnesses. Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Stability will come with a determination, and let us help each other there. That's the whole point here. Let's look at the cross, look at Jesus, and let's not be wearied. Let us not quit. And so, again, when you find that, you're not going to be easily led from the cross. You're not going to be swayed by those that don't want to suffer persecution for the cross of Christ, Galatians 6:12. And as many as desire to make a good showing in the flesh, these would compel you to be circumcised, only that they may not suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. Let's draw some things and draw a conclusion. Read your Bible. I mean, read your Bible for you. If the only time you're opening the Scripture right now is to somehow prepare for a class, something's wrong. You want stability. You need to be fed. You need those roots. Learn to love reading Scripture. And by the way, get away from writings of men. Right now, I am, again, I guess I'm sounding like an old guy, but I'm very concerned of what I'm seeing as I go online and looking at, quote, faithful churches, at what some of the men are preaching. A common thing that I'll find, I see somebody's PowerPoint, and I kind of do like this. I go, he didn't write that. And I'll take the phrase out, and I'll plug it in, and I'll find some denominational author, some trendy author that's got some cute group of illustrations, and they're taking that from those sources. Years ago, when I was in the Birmingham area, there was a preacher wanted to get a bunch of other preachers together, and he started asking people, what have you read? What's the last two books that you've read? And preacher after preacher after preacher, they gave two different denominational books they had been reading, and they talked about the things they learned from it. And they came to me, and I didn't have anything I could tell them. I finally, after they went around once, I raised my hand. I said, well, I was reading the 1934 bound edition of Gospel Advocate. You know, that was some papers written by brethren. Many ways denominational teaching is coming into our pulpit because we're not reading the Word of God. So, brethren, I don't care if you don't have a religious library with a bunch of people that frankly are unbelievers that the world celebrates. Let's read the Word of God. And so we don't need to be involved with the trendy subjects. And we need to hear the whole counsel of God. One of the things in our teachers, we need to make sure we're preaching solid things. Years ago, I heard a man preach at a congregation, and he was going to tell us what the number 666 meant in the book of Revelation. And he started assigning numbers to the alphabet, and he took people's names from history, and he gave assignments to the alphabet and their name and added it up. And I remember talking with Bill Hall about that later. I said, here's my notes. What do you make of this? And he kind of smiled. He says, Larry, it's very important as a teacher and as a preacher that you preach exclamation marks and not question marks. I'm going to try my best in my teaching, and I hope you will as well, to look at the things that we know and not be going after things that really may just destabilize churches. Just like that doctrine I told you about earlier about people wanting to make the Lord's Supper some comment, all that's going to do is destabilize the congregation. The Bible doesn't teach those things. But nonetheless, we see that those and other kind of doctrines are taught in churches to the hurt of their hearers. Let's look at Psalms 3 and then we will end our study. I really think it's important that if we want to be stable, that we surround ourselves with a core group of stable people. That is critical. Your relationships are important. My best friends are going to be found within people who want to reason from Scripture. They might not agree with me on everything, but they agree with me on the necessity of Bible authority. They'll agree with me upon a strict following of the Word of God. And I think that's what Psalms 1 talks about. Do you want to be the solid person that can stand in the time of trial? Psalms 1:1-3. Blessed is a man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Do you see the strength, the stability there? Choose this path. You're going to have to choose it. And you'll never regret that. This world may go crazy. My brother may go crazy. There may be troubles in the church that I'm a member of. And you may think everybody's got... But, you know, there's a stability here that I'll find because of the Lord. And I will tell you, I think what you'll find is you'll create stability. We need more of this as we try to build in the work here. Our Lord will bless us. We need to know to stand and where to stand. I hope we've encouraged you tonight. I hope you have some chance to maybe look at these scriptures and think more about how we can be stronger in the service of the Lord. We need men and women to be dependent upon. As I've told you this summer, I've been trying to emphasize on how we can draw closer together, of how we can be a stronger congregation. Pray we'll take some of the things stated tonight and let that encourage us to a greater service to Him. Well, if you're not a Christian, you got to start. And the idea of starting is the idea of, we've already talked about understanding the cross of Christ, understanding who Jesus is in His Lordship, and beginning by finding that forgiveness in Christ. Are you ready as those on the day of Pentecost to repent and be baptized? And Christian, as you seek your own stability, let us look, be honest. Just ask God forgiveness for those things we've fallen short of. And let us work toward the difficult path, but the path of building with solid material in our lives and the other lives of those that we know, that we might help one another to heaven. If you need to respond in any way, invitation extended as we stand and as we sing.